Yeah.
It's a Scorsese honor to be here today, as I say every week. One of the highlights of my week is to be with you and to talk Divrei Torah. And again, in Eretz Yisrael, it's Parshas Bahar, and in America, it's Parshas Emor. So we're going to do like we always do. We're going to ask a couple of questions, try to intertwine them. And it's amazing because in Parshas Emor, there's also Sfiras HaOmer. So again, we're in the time period of Sfiras HaOmer. So we'll try the middle question will be Sfiras HaOmer. So that is Parshas Emor, but it's also Sfira. The Torah tells us in Parshas Emor, Pasuk of Aleph, Pasuk Aleph. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, Emor el HaKohanim. And you should say to the Kohanim, B'nei Aaron, the sons of Aaron, Ve'amarta Aleihem, and you should say to them. And we know that right away in Parshas Emor, we talk about the Kohanim. And I saw very interesting, you know, in Parshas Emor, we talk about Kedushas HaGavra, Kedusha of the man. Then it goes into Kedusha HaMakom, on the Beis HaMikdash. And then it talks about Kedushas HaZman, the holidays. And we all know that the Kohanim, they have special holiness. Oh, we have some Kohanim in the room, like myself, Yaakov Fuchs, Benny Hershkowitz. Give a shout out to Akiva Cohen also. Again, it's not your fault. The ones that are not Kohanim, it's your ancestors' fault. But we spoke about last week, and more about Marta. Rashi brings down from the Gemara in Yevamos, Daf Yomi, Kuf Yudalad and Manalev, Asher Lieberman, the Daf Yomi, Yevamos, that we have this idea, and Benny, that we have this idea of Emor El Marta. We spoke about last week, Lahazir Gedolim, Ale Kitanim. And I saw a different question about Emor Val Marta. We know that normally when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives commandments to Moshe Rabbeinu to give to Klal Yisrael, it's Lashon Vayidaber. However, here it's Lashon Emor. And the Gemara tells us in Makos that there's a difference between Lashon Amira and Lashon Vayidaber. Vayidaber is Lashon Kosher, it's a very strong language. And Vayomer is a Lashon Racha, it's a soft language. Question one. Why, when we're giving over the commandments to the Kohanim, are we saying Lashon Amira, a soft language? We should say Lashon Vayidaber. It's a regular commandment. Question one. Question two. We get at the end of the Parsha, Parshas Emor. We get on to all the holidays. And the holidays, and then all of a sudden we talk about Svira. And it's very interesting. The Gemara tells us in Menachos Daf Samach Vav that the Gemara goes back and forth, mitzvah Svira, if you're counting the days, you're counting the weeks, and we count both. A very fascinating Beis Halevi that says, again, we don't paskin like this lahalacha, that if someone misses, we all know, right? If someone misses a day, you miss out on the counting. But what about the weeks? We know this is every week is a different week with Shabbos. Says the Beis Halevi, if you miss the days, you could count the weeks. Amazing chiddush. We don't paskin like it. But nevertheless, very interesting. So nowadays, the Torah links it, tells us in Perek HaGimel, Pasuk Tesvav, Usvartum Achem Mimokros HaShabbos Miyom HaViyachem Es Omer HaTnufa, that you're going to count from Mimokros HaShabbos, Machlokes between the Sedukim, right, between the Sadducees that don't believe in Torah Sheba'al Peh, and the Perushim, that us that believe in Torah Sheba'al Peh, and the Sedukim, sorry, that believe in only Torah Sheba'al Peh, and then it links it to the Omer HaTnufa. And we've spoken about the Omer, what is the significance of the Omer, but it's very fascinating, because nowadays we don't have the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara actually says in Menachos that we're waiting for the Beis HaMikdash. We're waiting every single day, and we are. We have to, Sibitul Yeshua, says the Gemara in Shabbos, on Daf Lamed Aleph, that we have to wait for the Mashiach, and we have to really want it, which is hard, but we have to really want it. But it's linked to the Karban. And nowadays you would say, since we don't have Karbanos, it's always a mitzvah, Derabanan. Comes along, Kamat, all the Rishonim, almost all the Rishonim, and they say the mitzvah of Sfira is only Derabanan. Comes along the Rambam, in Hilchos Tmidim, Musafin, Perek, Zayin, Halacha, Chaf, Beis, and the Rambam says that it's a Din De'oraisa. Why is that? Furthermore, we'll call it 2B. Why is there no Brach of Shechianu? We know that the Gemara tells us in Sukkah Daf Mem Vav that we say Shechianu when you have a mitzvah mizman lizman, from time to time. So all of a sudden we have a new mitzvah Sfiras HaOmer that started right after Pesach. So now we have a mitzvah. Why don't you say Shechianu? We'll call that 2B. And the last question, because in Eretz Yisrael we have Parshas Bahar, and it tells us again, you know, Parshas Emor, Lo Chazor, Eretz Yisrael, Perikov, hey, Pasuk Aleph, Vayidaber, Hashem, Moshe, Bahar, Sinai, Lemor. And Hashem spoke to Moshe at Har Sinai. And all of a sudden, right in the beginning of Bahar, we talk about Shemitah. We're in Shemitah right now. And Rashi asks the obvious question, Ma inyan Shemitah Eitzel Har Sinai? Right? Whenever you ask a question to someone and it really makes no sense, what do you say to them? Ma inyan Shemitah Eitzel Har Sinai? What's the correlation? What's the connection? So Rashi says, you know what the connection is? I don't get it. We got all the mitzvahs at Har Sinai. We got 613 mitzvahs at Har Sinai. Gemara and Makos, at the end of Makos. We're learning Makos in Yeshiva right now. So, and that's the only thing there's no argument about, right? All the Rishonim talk about which one are the mitzvahs. The Gemara and Makos says, clearly, no Machlokes, amazing, no Machlokes in Klal Yisrael. That's 613 mitzvahs, everyone believes. Torah, Yisrael, Lon, and Moshe. 613 mitzvahs. So it says Rashi, so why specifically Shemitah? So Rashi says, what do you mean? All the mitzvahs are said at Sinai. Elamash Shemitah Nemru Klalosel B'diktukei Abas Sinai. Just like by Shemitah, we have all the general rules, its details, and they were said at Har Sinai. And ask all the Achronim, what do you mean? How does that answer the question? So what? Shemitah has details and intricacies and all these different halachas, which there are a lot. I remember being by Reb Chaim many times. Reb Chaim Kanievsky, Zatzal. Well, we lost the Golda Ador this year. And Reb Chaim, a lot of times when I went to him and asked him questions or I brought friends to him, he said, learn Hilchos Shemitah. And again, there were obviously it was a deep idea. Again, I don't fully know. But again, maybe he was saying, because there's so many diktusel, when you show that you have all the pratim and you follow the halacha, there's something so specific about Shemitah. But there's so many halachas about everything. So why specifically Shemitah? So let's discuss it over. We have to have it in our back pocket. And again, in this Dvar Torah, I'm going to tell stories, obviously, right? They say stories put the goyim to sleep, and with Jews, they wake us up. And but within this idea, again, it was the yahrzeit of my grandmother. We had a Zoom shiur on Sunday. Her name was Leva Bas, Rav Moshe Elezer Halevi, a tremendous person. We'll try to intertwine some of these ideas, that we're going to bring out and bring it into our lives, Rebbe Sinbamzer. So again, the three questions. Because again, you always need clarity. If you don't have clarity, you're learning the Torah, but you want clarity. Question one. And more of Amarta. Why the double language? Rashi says to have the Gedolim teach the children, the men should teach the children, the women, oh, the Gedolim should teach their children. But why Lashon Racha? Why soft? Go hard! All the mitzvahs Vayidaber. Question two. Sviras HaOmer. Why does the Rambam hold that it's Doraisa? And furthermore, why is there no Shechianu on Sfira? And lastly, Parshas Bahar in Eretz Yisrael, when America gets to it, a little Chazara, that Ma Inyan Shemitah Itzel Har Sinai, but why specifically Shemitah? So I'll tell you. I remember a story a couple years ago. I was in America, me and my family, and we went to my uncle's swimming pool in Fairlawn, New Jersey. Uncle Alan and Beverly, right? Beautiful day. My parents came out. My in-laws came out. Awesome. At the swimming pools, Gevaldik. And everyone loves swimming pools. Or you don't love swimming pools. But again, you have to know how to swim. It's a Mishnah Kedushin. You have to know how to swim a swimming pool. And I remember that I had a daughter. I still do. Well, Hashem. I have a lot of daughters. And I had a daughter going on the diving board. She was on the diving board, and it was like one of those movies, right? You're on the diving board, and she just couldn't get off the diving board. And I'm like, let's go, ready, 1, 2, 3, stuck on the diving board. And like she wanted to do it, and I saw in her eyes that she wanted to do it, but she couldn't get off the diving board. So I wanted to go and push her off, but that wouldn't be so good, because I'm the father, that's not so good. And that's not called her jumping off, that's called pushing off. So I didn't want to do that, I didn't want to do anything. But I'm like, come on, you could do it. It gave her the confidence. And she jumped, and she felt, wow, I accomplished something that I never thought that I was able to accomplish. And I remember a couple years ago that, so my wife, she still does it, right? She's a very consistent, hardworking person. Every single morning, she wakes up, and she goes up that big hill. You guys been to Givat Zed? She goes up that big hill at like 5:30 in the morning, walking up that hill, and I said, you know what? I'm going to try doing it. I'm going to try going up that hill. I'm not the most morning guy. I'm usually sleeping in the morning, right? So I'm going to go up the hill, and then I'll be early to davening, and it will be amazing. So I remember going up the hill, really, I felt a little like visual presentations, not that you guys know about this, but your friends told you, a little of Rocky Balboa, right? A little, right? A little Rocky Balboa. Now, interesting thing about Rocky, if you don't know who Rocky is, okay, sorry, but Sylvester Stallone played a movie of Rocky, that he was a boxer. Unbelievable. Now, Rocky, a little history of Rocky. Rocky was very broke. He had no cash money. And he created a script. And he said, I'm going to be the main actor. And he said, you're crazy. You don't know how to act. He's like, I'm going to be the main actor. He was so poor that he had a dog. And he had to sell his dog for $36. Yeah, interesting little fact. And all of a sudden, he goes to a producer and he says, I'm going to sell you this. And they're like, no way, who are you? You're Sylvester Stallone, you can't do that. And he's like, no, just give me a chance, I'm telling you. And they said, no way. Finally, he found one producer that was going to take him on. And they said, fine, listen, we'll make it. And he was offered a lot of money. And he said, no way, only if I'm the main actor. And they said, you don't know who you are. But he pushed. Now, he pushed, and he made it. Now, you need to get it. Well, again, we'll get back to other stories and the Torah, obviously, because it's all about the Torah. It's not a shiur about Rocky Balboa, but it was something amazing. And he worked, and he persevered. But now, you need to get his dog back. Comes to the guy, he's like, listen, I need my dog. I sold you for $36. I'll give you $100. He's like, no way. $3,000 if you want your dog back. $3,000? Really? Back and forth. He's like, fine. I will pay $3,000. He's like, no, you know what? $5,000. He's like, what kind of business deal? He's like, you know what? I'll give it you for $3,000, but you need to put me in the movie. So that guy, he's a short little guy, is actually in the movie. Now, back to my story. So now, I'm up the hill, I'm feeling like Rocky Balboa, I feel amazing, and now I'm going up the hill, trying my best, and I'm going up that hill, and then I make it up the hill, I go down, and I'm early, I go to davening, and I'm early to davening, I learn a little, and I see all these people coming a little later than me, late, and I'm like, what's wrong with these people, they come late, how does someone come late to shul, right, but again, we come late to shul, But what was the pshat in this story is that I didn't think that I could do something, but I told myself I could do it. Because if a person sets their mind to anything they want, they are able to accomplish. And the only problem is that we have that little Yetzirah on the side of us that says that we can't accomplish. That says, you know what, I'm just going to go after what normally happens to me. That I try something and I fail. I try and I fail. Me? Can I accomplish? No, I'm not that guy. But if a person puts his mind to it and realizes that life is a process, it doesn't happen overnight. You know, one time I was doing with, you know, what goals of the year, what do I want? And a guy wrote on his paper, my goal is to know how to read every Gemara without any help and to finish 5 Masechtas. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, yeah, this is going to be a long year, right? Because it's not all about finishing. It's not all about getting it right away, but it's a process. But guess what? Sometimes we're stuck in our ways. You know, they give the awesome mashal. I heard it from Ben-Zion Schaefer in the Shmooz, shmooz.com, tremendous. He says, and we know this mashal, but we have to take it to the heart, is that an elephant, it doesn't matter, I just went to the zoo, my parents took my family to the zoo, it was little Chaim's birthday, he all wanted to see was the elephants, but there's something deep about the elephants. If you look at an elephant, he's huge. He's a big guy, right? If anyone ever calls you an elephant, that's not a compliment, right? So an elephant is a very big animal, a couple tons. And the question is, how do you keep the animal there? Like, he's an elephant. Just break through. You know, he's a big guy. You don't want to mess with him. So what does that mean? How do you get him stuck? So it's amazing. When the elephant is little, he gets born, and he's like 300, 400 pounds. I don't know, you look it up. What I'm saying is true. And they take a little peg, and they take a string, a big, hard string, and now the elephant is stuck. And now, when the elephant's getting bigger and bigger and bigger, all he needs to do is just kick his leg. But he gets stuck. He can't do it. And in his mind, again, the elephant's mind, whatever that means, he's stuck. Now he comes 1, 2, 3 times. All you need to do is just kick your leg. But he has a limited vision. He has a limited scope. He can't do it. They tell stories in circuses where there was a fire in Ringley Brothers Circus. I don't know if they have it anymore. But Ringley Brothers Circus. I used to go to the circus. Pesach time, my parents, I remember. There was a fire, so the animal got scared, and he kicked through, and he broke through. They were never able to catch that elephant again, because he's an elephant. Now, what's the idea here? Is that sometimes we feel like we're an elephant. We get ourselves trapped. This is who we are. But no, this is not who we are. If a person wants greatness, and it might be hard, and there might be struggles, I'm still going to push through. You know, my grandmother, Liba Bas, Ramosha Eliezer Halevi, was this person that never gave up. Her, with my grandfather, Rav Chaim Zembazer Zatzal, created a community in Brooklyn, raised 6 children, and made them tremendous people, leaders of the community, my mother, and her brothers, and her sisters, because this was her nekuda, that her and my grandfather created this dynasty together, never giving up. And again, obviously, there's trials and tribulations and challenges, but they never, ever gave up because they realized that there was a process. My grandmother was a real person, right? She was such an empathetic, listen. She had such great friends. All she wanted was her family. She didn't want anything fancy. All she wanted was her family to be happy. And Baruch Hashem, what she created. And we all have the ability to create. And more v'amarta, why Lashon Racha? Why a sweet language? So you know why, says Rav Moshe Feinstein, Gevaldik, that if you want to give over anything to anyone, if you want to affect yourself, and then you build yourself up and you want to give it over to your friends, and then you get married, you want to give it over to your wife, and you give it over to your children, v'chule, v'chule, furthermore and furthermore, you need to feel that simcha. And more, it needs to be soft. And more about Marta, when you're giving it over, Lahazi or Gedolim al Ketanim, it needs to be sweet. It needs to be awesome. It needs to be besimcha. If it's not besimcha, who's going to want to do it? Right? Moshe Feinstein writes in a tshuva. He says it doesn't make sense. You have people that were moser nefesh for Shabbos, and their children went off the derech. It doesn't make sense. Every week they lost their job. How can it be? And Ramosha says this idea, because they did not view the mitzvahs besimcha. When the kids saw it and they said, oh, the parents said, oh, I'm going to lose my job this week. They didn't keep Shabbos besimcha. And we all have the ability to do all of our mitzvahs, and it's hard. It's hard, but we have the ability to do all of our mitzvahs besimcha. And my grandmother was also this person. She used to laugh all the time. She was besimcha. You know, the Mishnah tells us in Pirkei Avos, Ezo Ashir Hasameach Bechelko. Who's happy? The person that is happy with his portion. Because there's going to be different people that are going to accomplish different things. People are going to have, again, different nisyonos, different things. Hashem created everyone differently. But Ezo Ashir Hasameach Bechelko. With his portion. Ezo Ashir Hasameach. We all are different Yetzaharas. We all are different people. But if you conquer your Yetzahara, your Yetzahara, so then that's greatness. But again, life is a process. Life, it doesn't happen right away. I remember that me and my friends, when I was in high school, we used to go bowling a lot. And I wasn't the best bowler. One time I remember I was going bowling and my fingers got stuck in the bowling ball and they had to spend like 20 minutes getting the bowling ball out and they had to get peanut butter in the whole thing. I was not, you know, walking. Imagine you say Shalom Aleichem and you stick it in your hand, you have a bowling ball in your hand, you know? It was like, what's going on here? Baruch Hashem, they got the bowling ball out. But I was a terrible bowler. I was terrible. Right? And one day I said, you know, this is crazy. I'm so bad. I'm embarrassed to go with my friends. Like, I got the guy, like my good friend Noam Singer, my cousin Shalom. They throw the bowling ball, getting strikes from the spears. Right? I'm like throwing it in the gutter all the time. And it was annoying. So I was going to quit. I just won't go. You know, every time they go, I'll be like, oh, I have to hang out with other friends and I'll lose those friends. But I didn't know what to do. So my father happens to be an excellent bowler. Excellent. I said, Dad, take me to the bowling alley. I need to like learn how to bowl. This is embarrassing. And my father went, and we went to the bowling alley, and it was hard for me. And then I turned into a decent bowler. And this Pesach, this was, again, it was bumper bowling. I didn't use the bumpers, but it was back and forth. I spoke about this before. My father was with us. He took us, me and my family, bowling. It was Gevaldik. I won't talk about how I beat my father, whatever. But it was between me and my daughter, Miira. She had 133. And it was my last pin. What my last, what do they call it? The last frame. And I went and I bowled a good frame, good pins, and I got a 135. And it was geschmack. You know why I saw geschmack, like we were saying before? Because I took a challenge. And again, my father helped me. My father's like, you're an extension of me. So you didn't beat me. It was like, I'm like, no, I beat you. Right? So, but again, he's the one that taught me. You never get jealous. Imagine, the Gemara says this. You're never jealous. A parent is never jealous of their child. And a person is never jealous of their Talmud. It's an amazing thing. You have Rabbeinu always talk about their coming. They're never jealous. If a Talmud or a child passes you, that's what they want. If they feel part of you, they feel connected, and the Talmud is like a son, the Gemara says it's not a Sanhedrin, but they'll never, they want you to accomplish. If they don't want you to accomplish, then there's some problems here, right? They want you to accomplish. But if a person perseveres, and he realizes that he could accomplish anything he sets his mind to. So what's the pshat? Why is there no Shechianu? Why is there no Shechianu in Sfiras HaOmer? Why does the Rambam say that it's Doraisa? So the answer is that because Shechianu, some Rishonim say the Shechianu is going on Pesach. Other Rishonim say that the Shechianu is going on Shavuos. I remember my grandfather once time, I was in the hotel, he used to be a scholar in residence on the Pesach programs, right? Parents threw it down with him, Cancun, different places, unbelievable. And I remember one time he threw out this question, get the whole crowd involved, it was geschmack. But I'll tell you a Gavaldic answer. What Soloveitchik says is that you do not make a bracha Shechianu on a process. There's a process here. It's going from a Pesach to a Shavuos. The Aruch HaShulchan says, you know the Rambam holds to a Raisa? Because it's accounting from going from a Pesach, our physical freedom, to a spiritual freedom with the Torah. And on a process, you don't make a Shechianu. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, the Rambam holds to a Raisa. You know why he holds to a Raisa? Because it's the connection between Pesach to Shavuos, and that's not connected to the Omer. It's taking the Pesach and putting it with the Shavuos. And lastly, why specifically Parshas Bahar, Ma Inyan Shemitah Eitzel Har Sinai? Why specifically Shemitah? All the mitzvahs were given at Har Sinai. And again, we're in a Shemitah right now. But the reason is, because Shemitah, different answers. Again, one answer is, I once had the schus to talk in Ribera Wine Shul in Rechavia, and I asked this question, all the congregants got involved, it was great. And they said, Shemitah, it's Emunah, it's Bitachon. Shemitah, imagine leaving your field for a whole year and just letting the Ribbono Shel Olam run the world. Shemitah, like Shabbos, that we have 6 days, the seventh day, we say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Creator. Shemitah, 6 years of working, seventh year. But there's another idea, is that Shemitah happens once every 7 years at a level of Hiskachos. There's a level of renewal. And to have a geschmack, to have a beauty in the mitzvos, you need renewal, and it's hard. The Rashba says, you know what, you wash your hands in Netilas Yadayim, you wash in the morning. One reason, like we're like the Kohan, right, me and Benny and Yaakov over here, because they used to wash their hands before the Avodah. That's why you wash before Duchening. But another reason, says the Rashba, is because Hischadshus. So Shemitah represents Hischadshus. This is the idea. You have a process. You have a Amor Bamarta. You give it over to the children. This is my grandmother. Liba Bas or Moshe Elezer Halevi. Or Neshama should have an Aliyah. That this is who she was, Besimcha. She used to laugh all the time. She was Besimcha. And this is what, again, it's hard. We have different challenges. But the more we show Besimcha when we're doing the mitzvahs. I'll tell you one last story. When I was in high school, a lot of high school stories. When I was in high school, I used to have a workout partner. We used to go to the gym. And one time, it was crazy actually, I saw a guy that was on the treadmill. He actually fell off the treadmill. It was the craziest thing. I didn't know what to do. Laugh. I'm like, you know. And you see a guy like fall off a treadmill. It's like a little crazy, you know. Okay, whatever. Right? It's like when I once saw a guy who was in the middle of a shiur and he fell asleep and he fell off the chair. Like, you're not sure what to do. Right? So he fell off the treadmill. But again, I was doing the weights. I was working hard on the weights. And a guy, a big Russian guy, came over to me and he's like, what are you doing? What are you doing? And I said, what do you mean? I'm doing the thing with the biceps, the triceps, whatever it is. And he's like, no, you're not. I'm like, yes, I am. I'm doing my triceps. I've been doing this for 2 years. And he's like, you're doing it wrong. Do you want me to teach you? And I said, okay. You know, I'm a growing person. And he said, you know how you're going to know if you're doing it or not? When you move your arm, you start feeling it, you might scream. Right? And I started doing it, and all of a sudden I felt that scream. And I'm like, Wow, because that's growth. Growth is hard. Growth is getting out of yourself and realizing you could accomplish. Again, spheres, her own there is a process, one day at a time. Sometimes they have good days, hopefully you have more, right? Sometimes they have bad days, sometimes they have good days, hopefully you have more good days, but it's a process. But if you want to give it over to yourself and give it over to your children, that emuna, the shmitah, the emuna, the hischadshus, you have to realize how lucky and how fortunate we are to be part of this awesome nation, to do mitzvahs, but to do mitzvahs besimcha. And it's hard, we have a lot of mitzvahs. But take one, put tefillin on besimcha. Remember that first time that you put tefillin on for that first time? Wow, renewal, and it's hard. Sometimes you're like, uh-oh, did I put tefillin on or not? I have to look at my arm to see if I put tefillin on or not, right? But again, every mitzvah, take one, go small, put it besimcha. If a person realizes this, right, this is what my grandmother gave to my mother, and she passed it on from generation, and her brothers and sisters passed it on from generation to generation, because that's our goal, to create the Messiah and get a closer and closer relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everyone should have an amazing Parshas, and more Parshas Bahar. Have an amazing, amazing Shabbat.